for the woman at the well. Grace wins for the blind man and the beggar. Grace wins for always and forever. Grace wins for the lost out on the street. Grace wins for the worst part of you and me. Grace wins for the thief on the cross. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar, grace wins. For always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street.
Almost brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? Yeah. God's grace, that's what brings tears to our eyes of joy, right? God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you and me from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a lengthy text this morning, Romans 1, 1 to 17. Please help me read it off the screens, you reading the portions in yellow. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel, the good news of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel to also to you who are in Rome. The righteous will live by faith. This is God's promise. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, You are 16 years old. You have 18 months worth of Burger King wages burning a hole in your pocket, and it is time to buy your first car. Which one do you want? The 2009 Honda Civic on the left, or the 2019 Dodge Challenger Hellcat on the right? The Challenger, right? By a long, so many levels. How old are you, my friend?
72.
It's 27 years old. A round of applause for Rich. 27 years old. Now, at 27, mature as you are, wise, which car do you want? The Civic or the Challenger? The Hellcat. He wants the Hellcat. Of course. Yes. Have you driven both?
No.
See, I have driven a Civic. And a Civic, how many Civic owners we got? Raise your hand. Okay, I don't want to offend you, but I'll say it anyway. A Civic, kind of a glorified street-worthy lawnmower that backfires a bit when you tromp on it. Am I totally wrong? Yeah, no, okay. The Challenger, I have never driven, but I have heard the purr. Oh, next to you at the stoplight, I've heard the purr. You can buy that thing, 6.4 liter V8, 797 horses under the hood. Wow, sports-worthy suspension and cherry bomb black glass packs. Rich, doesn't that just make our youth come screaming back at us? He wants it. Now, if you're sitting at the red light on a Friday night in your Challenger, would you rev the engine just a little bit? Oh, yeah. Especially if the kid from your biology class is sitting next to you in a 2009 Honda Civic. Right? True or false? Winning power is meant to be shared. You got to rev the engine, right? Well, welcome to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And welcome to grace, the winning power of salvation, brought to us not by Dodge, but by God, driven not by Rich, but by Jesus Christ. Let's take a look. Now, as you look at that beauty, there is no false advertising there. Now, some of us are old enough to remember the DeLorean, the Gremlin, and the Yugo. You have to kneel down to be shorter than it, right? I can't tell you what the advertising campaigns were for those vehicles, and I have not seen one on the street in decades. But God's grace, advertised by the prophets 1,400 years before grace became visible and rolled off the line in the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation brought to you by God, advertised by the Old Testament prophets, promised through them the good news about our salvation. And what's interesting, it's a different kind of good news than we might think. Let me illustrate for you. If you are sitting around a bonfire with an old friend, you might eventually say to that old friend, "Well, Joe, hey, what's happening? Tell me about the kids. What's the good news?" And Joe would say, "Well, you know, we had graduations, we got engagements, we have new jobs, we have weddings, we have grandkids, the usual stuff." But imagine if you were sitting around a campfire 2,500 years ago with the Lord God. And you said, "Well, Lord, tell me about your kid. What's the good news?" God leans back in his camp chair, draws a deep breath, has a little bit of a mournful smile on his face, but a smile, and he says, "Well, my boy plans to become one of you 100%. Yet he's going to remain one with me, 100% God, no sin. But he's going to bring with him the power of an amazing victory. But it's going to come at an amazing cost. His power will be hidden, mostly, under the hood, so to speak. You'll hear it and you'll see it once in a while. But when he's done, his work will be known the world over. You see, my boy is coming to die for your sin. A short life, 33 years, that's how focused he's going to be. And it's going to be lonely for him in the end, because even I won't be there for him. You're going to hear him cry out, "My God, my God, my dad, why have you forsaken me?" And that's the hell part. But he's focused. He's committed. And he's happy to do it. You know, my boy and I, we promised that for you a long time ago. That the offspring of the woman would one day come and crush the serpent's head, close his mouth, so that he can no longer accuse you. And he's going to do that by taking away your sin. Taking away your sin, focused, happy to do it. And we also told you that he would be born of a virgin. And she would name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And oh, let me tell you, God will be with you. No false advertising there. He's my boy. Good news about a son. Good news focused on you and me. It changed Paul's life. Paul tells us that through Jesus, he had received grace and the role of a missionary to call people to the obedience that comes from faith. And Paul says, all for the sake of Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus. No false advertising there, right? No false label. You see, Jesus means Savior. And you know the Christmas ad campaign that the angel rolls out every year, right? The angel said, Joseph, son of David, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You see, the name of God's Son says it all, Jesus, Savior. Now we, when we give names to our kids, we have to be careful what names we use. We don't want to set them up for failure, false advertising. Imagine naming your kid Tiger. People will just expect Great Gulf, right? If you name your kid Giannis now, they're going to expect your kid to be the next Kobe, right? And when it comes to cars, well, there are some names that do it for people. Mopar says it for some of you. Hemi says it for others, and that little horse really does it for some people in their lives. Jesus? Well, if you know him, he's driving grace, the winning power of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. No false advertising here. You see, Jesus' name reveals the heart of the triune God and corporate efforts. The Father sent his Son so that even today, the name of Jesus has an impact when it's mentioned in any room. Jesus still turns heads, either in joy, sometimes in fear, sometimes in anger, sometimes with curiosity. Jesus, Savior? Savior from what? Sin and death? Really? And self-fulfilling prophecy in his name. He was named Savior. Wow. Now, do you and I hear the engine idling when we stand by the manger of Bethlehem? Do we hear the angels revving the engine just a bit as the chorus sings, "Glory to God in the highest"? Can you hear the rumble of the power of God almost imperceptible beneath the cries and the shouts of the crowd outside Pilate's palace, "Crucify, crucify"? And do you ever struggle on Good Friday trying to hear the purr of the power of God's promise of salvation as Jesus calls out from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit"? But oh, how sweet is the sound of victory on Easter morning. Grace at 8,500 RPMs as a stone is rolled away from the tomb. The Roman soldiers are like dead men, and the gates of hell are stormed by the victorious one named Jesus, Savior. Death defeated. Hell no longer a scary thing for those who are able to hear the power. Have you planned your funeral yet? What will grace sound like and look like at your funeral? You know, some will probably be in attendance who don't know the name of Jesus. And for them, the room will be eerily silent as the lid is closed on your casket. But for some who are there who know Jesus as Savior, they're going to just be hearing the purr of the engine, the rumble of grace, as grace rolls into the winner's circle, the victory of Jesus filling the air and some donuts in the infield grass. Jesus will be there, standing by his car, standing by grace, no longer running, now silent, because the work is done. And can you picture yourself in that winner's circle with Jesus handing to you his trophy? The sound of victory for the people of God. Just thinking about that makes me want to rev the engine just a little bit every day. Winning power is meant to be shared, and that's where Paul goes next. He says, to all in Rome loved by God, his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, we say it all the time. Undeserved love is grace. Peace is the forgiveness of sins. And the apostles always remind us, God's undeserved love, the forgiveness of sins, is yours from God the Father through his Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus. The victory is ours. And then Paul told the people in Rome, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Your faith is being reported all over the world. You see, word of mouth speaks volumes when a product is good. God, whom I serve in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers. I long to see you that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. It's why we're here. Grace fuels itself. Undeserved love from our God, spoken here and shared with each other. Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware that I plan many times to come to you, that I might have a harvest among you, the saving of souls, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Keeping our picture going, can't you just see Paul stuck in traffic in Corinth trying to get out of the city heading to Rome? And he's stuck in traffic. And he's tweeting out to the people in Rome and to people like me, and he's typing away and he's saying, friends of Jesus, let us tap into the power that we have in God's grace. For this ride of free forgiveness will sell itself. Just share the victory. And he's revving the engine. You do know that Volkswagen, they're sorry, they say, kind of. They've been on an advertising campaign since 2015 when they were publicly accused of illegal software that duped the pollution sensors on the test for their cars, the whole time spinning the advertising that their cars were some of the cleanest on the planet. Well, Paul is so eager, you and I are so eager, because there's no false advertising in our sermon series theme. Grace wins. Victory in God's love. Paul, in Romans 1, is putting it out there why grace is so sweet and has so much power. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. Why not? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. How can that be? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, holiness, No sin. The righteousness of God is revealed to us. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. My friends, there is no fear for us at the Bridge or at St. Paul's to rev the engine of God's grace. Paul says it's the very message that actually brings salvation. So there's no fear as we gather and we share. Salvation by grace is almost like a bumper-to-bumper warranty. Paul says, we don't have to doubt whether we are saved in Jesus because God's salvation is all his doing, the work of Jesus, nothing on you and me, almost like bumper-to-bumper. And God says it's by faith from first to last, from beginning to end, cradle to grave, all God's doing, ours through faith. We've done this once before, but everyone close your eyes, unless you're a mom watching kids or a dad watching kids, okay? Close your eyes. Raise your hand and keep your eyes shut, okay? Raise your hand if you are in heaven today for Jesus' sake, if you should die before you wake. Raise your hand if you're in heaven. Keep them shut, your eyes shut, okay? Confidence is yours, you know. What did Paul say? He said, God revealed his righteousness, and it is yours by faith from first to last. Nothing depends upon you. So in heaven today, for Jesus' sake, if you should die before you wake, everyone raise your hands, if that's who you are. And now open your eyes. Salvation, the sure thing, Paul says, you can raise your hand, God's work from beginning to end. Now, maybe you were doubting just a bit. Can I raise my hand? And maybe there's sin that's dogging you in your conscience from your past. Or maybe there's wrestling with the sin of the present. It's here, it's present. You know, many years ago, I worked with a woman who I'll never forget, Pat. Her husband was Rich. And Pat had been a member of the church for like 10 or 15 years before I ever arrived. And Pat was never in church. Rich sometimes. And I went to visit with them in their home. And Pat was stuck in the past. She said, oh, Pastor Strobel, if you knew what I did, and her eyes would fill with tears. And she said, if you knew what I have done in my life, you would know why I don't come to church. You see, the power of God's forgiveness, the rumble of his grace, scared her. It can't be for me. And I don't know how many times I sat with her and I said, Pat, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's gone. And she would cry, I don't know, Pastor Strobel, I just don't think it can be for me, but I think I believe you. And we wrestled and we wrestled and we wrestled. And she didn't want to have a baby with her husband because she felt that she wasn't worthy of having a baby. Well, 20 years later, I saw her husband at a thing over on this side of the lake. She lives in Michigan. And since I left, they had a baby. Baptized, raised in the Lord, Christian schools, going on to do great things for her God, and mom and dad are pretty good. And for Pat, the rumble has now become joy. The rumble has now become a promise. Hopefully for you and me, the power of God's salvation does not have a question mark in our minds. Because how eager will we be to share our Jesus with the world if we question whether he's really for me? But if we believe that he is for me, it's freeing and it's empowering. And so if today there's doubt in your mind, then Paul would say, come to the foot of the cross. Lay your sins down at the foot of the cross with the blood dripping down and look up at the King of the Jews and listen and hear and read his lips as he says, it is finished. I forgive you. grace is done. Believe. You know, there are some members at St. Paul's who want to start a trap shooting team here in Muskego. And I'm a fan, primarily because it creates an opportunity for us to rev the engine of God's grace. You mean all of you go to St. Paul's? What's so cool about St. Paul's? And then I'll say, hey, you think we should just tell them about our best friend Jesus? He comes along trap shooting every week. Jam it on Janesville. We love to do it, serving our community. Why? Because we trust the power of grace. We can hear the rumble and we feel it resonating through our bodies. And maybe, just maybe, someone will say, what's so special about St. Paul's? And we can say, you know, what's so special? It's not a what, it's a who. He's our best friend, and he's yours too. The power of grace, salvation for all. In 2017, God blessed my wife and me with a 2004 black Jeep Liberty. Ain't she a beaut? My wife says that we're cool enough people to drive the Jeep. I say the Jeep makes people think we're cool and we drive a Jeep. You see, that's what the Christian life is like. When we live and we love as our Savior loves with grace, people are attracted and drawn to us. And lo and behold, when they get to know us, they know it's not about us, it's all about Him. You see, God's people just can't help but rev the engine because we believe and we know that in the end, grace wins every time. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Great God and Lord, today we come before you in the confidence of grace, trusting your power for us in the name of Jesus, our Savior. He came into this world to give us grace, the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of God, given to us on a platter, given to us through a victory trophy won by his blood. He went to hell and suffered for us. He went through death and came out of it for us. He rose to life that we might have life. And he says to us, your victory is simple. Trust me, believe me, that I have died for your sins and I have washed you clean in my blood. Heavenly Father, may all of us walk out of this building today confident of our personal salvation, knowing that if today we die, we are in heaven for Jesus' sake. If we die before we wake, many of us pray that every night. Help us then to go out into the world and to shine with confidence, knowing that we can share a truth that has changed our lives, for some through the waters of holy baptism, for all through the hearing of your gospel and the good news message of salvation. And may we trust that as we share, it will still resonate in the lives of people around us. Some will reject, some will hate, some will doubt, some will wonder, some will ask, and many will believe. So may St. Paul's and the Bridge always be a place that shines mightily with grace, the winning power of salvation. And may this ministry grow more and more through God's people sharing the great news of a Savior for all. So thanks for blessing us with your presence this day. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your promises. Thank you for teaching us again about grace, your undeserved love that wins every time. Oh, and Heavenly Father, we had a footnote of thanks and praise to you this day. Just this morning, you took to heaven to yourself the soul of our sister Jean, mother of Mike Grimes, president of our congregation. You took Jean home to heaven through faith in you, her Savior God. She's with you now in the victor's circle. Jesus handing his trophy to her. Thank you for her victory, and may it inspire her family and friends to trust. And as they attend her funeral, may they see and hear and feel the power of your salvation, and may they share it with their world as well. All these things we pray In the name of Christ our Savior, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. And together we say, amen.